Welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. This Monday afternoon, we're going to wrap up the day with some market commentary with a friend of mine, a friend of yours, the Raging Cajun himself, and editor of the Gold Newsletter, and the host of New Orleans Investment Conference, Mr. Brian London. Brian, good day to you, my friend.
Great to talk to you, Trevor. Thanks for that introduction. You're my best unpaid publicist out there.
And I will remain that way.
Not unappreciated. Never that.
I had the privilege to kind of run into you, cross paths with you in Vancouver as we had the conferences over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, you were coming off MIF. I ran into you at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. Always great to see you and amongst friends and other like-minded colleagues in this sector. I would love to get your thoughts here, just a general sentiment, what the mood you saw in that conference, in those conferences. Now, granted, we'll get to this correction in the metals price here following your response, but things seemed pretty upbeat. However, Brian, I'll admit, not a whole lot of like new, crazy, different ideas and companies, and it still seemed like we were seeing some of the same people. However, sentiment seemed much better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, we're a lot of the same people, but they had smiles on their faces this time, which is a bit different. They look a little bit more attractive than they did maybe a year or two ago. I started talking at the Metals Investor Forum on Friday, and I think I was the most bullish speaker that day, or at least the ones that I saw. And but it seemed like as the next few days wore on, people got more and more bullish. And I think it's kind of the dynamic of people pumping each other up, et cetera, et cetera. And the more people got more bullish, they talked to more people, and it was kind of infectious. So there was a lot of positive attitude evident toward the end of the conference. You know, the bars of the hotels were teeming and bustling, and people are actually buying drinks for other people, which was amazing to see. So it looked good. It looked kind of like the old days, maybe too soon, too quick kind of a thing that was a little bit worrisome. And sure enough, we got that correction, which was kind of like a 2x4 upside the head to everybody. But generally speaking, I agree with the bullish sentiment. I think that there is reason to be bullish. Not necessarily reason for all the other markets to be bullish, but I think certainly for gold, silver, and the metals-related investments.
Well, let's talk about this correction in the metals. Jared Dillian wrote in the Daily Dirt Nap this morning, if we are going to get a correction in the gold price, you want it hard and fast, not the slow bleed out we saw throughout 2022. So if it's going to be hard and fast, we're certainly getting a taste of it. Obviously a pretty, in my mind, Brian, a healthy pullback. It maybe caught a lot of people by surprise, but this gold price is getting so overbought for so long, I had to do something here.
Yeah, and it was a bit encouraging for a while that it was kind of just holding ground over time, which is another way to work off an overbought condition. The other way, of course, is what we saw Thursday and Friday, which was hard and fast, as you say. But, it was not only ahead of itself. If you look at all the other markets that corrected, gold corrected more. Gold got hit more than just about anything else other than silver on Friday. And that's because it had moved more than anything else. For much of December, stocks were going down while gold was going up. Gold gained a lot of ground over the last few months. And it was naturally the one that was going to be hit by the most profit taking. But I don't know, while, sell stops were certainly hit on the way down, I don't know that this is kind of a sea change in the overall direction of the market. I think the underlying fundamentals are still in place. And I think they favor the metals over every other market. I hope I'm not proven wrong, as we all do, knocking on wood, crossing fingers, crossing toes, all that other stuff. But if you look at it, I think the macro picture is very bullish for precious metals over the longer term, maybe not the next week or so. But if you look at what gold is looking ahead to see, I think it's seeing that the Fed will have to, at some point, stop its rate hikes, and it will do so without having gotten inflation anywhere near 2%.
All right, so this is where the current great debate of this week is here, Brian, and this is where the nuts and bolts of conversation I'd love to have with you. Listen, we had the FOMC announcement last week. The market reacted. Jerome Powell was up there. I mean, he really just kind of waffled through his statement. There was no sense of he kind of showed they don't know exactly what they're doing. There's a lack of leadership in his tone, in his statement. This higher for longer is playing that idea. The game of chickens being played with the markets as they just went storming higher during and following his statement. But if they really want to stick to this 2% inflation target, Brian, I almost think that if he's going to do something to get there, it almost has to be a surprise. Is a 50 basis point rate hike next meeting off of the table, knowing that he's got to bring things down to earth? However, there is issues with that, and as you and I were talking off mic. So, you know, let's start with that idea. Does he need to really, you know, hold the knife here to the markets with something surprising? But what is the issue with doing such a – what is the issue surprising the market?
Well, I think there's three factors out there that could stop the Fed from continuing this rate hike. One is basically the stock market and all the speculative markets being addicted to ever easier money. If there's anything that's going to be harder for the Fed to whip into shape than inflation, it is the attitude of the markets to just bounce higher on any kind of a positive indication. That the euphoria returns very quickly. There has been no capitulation in the stock market, global stock markets, because there's just so much money sloshing around and it can't bear sitting in cash for very long. It's got to go into some asset class. Any indication of a less hawkish Fed at this point just has to be less hawkish, and it all flows into stocks, and you see the kind of reaction we've seen. The other thing is something can break. This cycle is notable by its absence of a Lehman moment so far. Now, the banks are in better shape than they were in 2008. Investment banks are in better shape. But the bond market was built over the last 14 years for zeroed interest rates. And at some point, these pressures are going to come to bear, very possibly overseas, and then starting the dominoes that come back crashing onto U.S. shores. Where things aren't quite as hunky-dory of higher interest rates and home mortgages, real estate markets, et cetera. So something's going to break at some point, very likely, and the plumbing of the financial system, i.e. the bond market. The third thing that I think is clear as day is the actual cost of the federal debt. $32 trillion times, 5% interest rates where the Fed wants to get is $1.55 trillion a year. I've been predicting, as you know, for some time that the costs of servicing the debt are quickly going to get to that magic number of $1 trillion a year. The latest update that came out with the GDP number the week before last was $863 billion a year. So we're rapidly heading toward that $1 trillion a year. And if you want to see the federal debt really go into an upward just get exponential. And when you start adding over $1 trillion a year, just in interest costs on the federal debt, because how is the Fed going to pay that? They're going to borrow more money to pay the interest on the debt they already have, otherwise known as a debt spiral. So one of those three things is going to stop the Fed, at least get them to pause. And I think that's what gold has been looking forward to over the last 3 months. It's a predictive mechanism like all the investment markets, but I think gold is better than most of the other ones, and that's what it's looking at.
Has it made that full transition away from its relation to real interest rates, and is it turning out to be that ultimate insurance policy that, the idea that this is going to be there when a monetary system does break? Has it made, or is it starting to make that full transition, Brian? Because it certainly feels that it's cut ties with a lot of things it was tied to for the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has. Since the Fed started raising rates last March, there have been about three instances where the gold's correlation with the S&P 500 has slipped into the negative zone, meaning they became inversely correlated. The first two instances of that were when gold was going down and stocks were going up, otherwise known as a bad decoupling for us. In December, that decoupling went the other way. Gold was going up and stocks went down, a good decoupling for gold bulls. And I think that was a signal that it could happen and prove that one scenario is very realistic, and that scenario being that the Fed pauses or even pivots without having gotten inflation anywhere near 2%. That would be an admission, number one, that the Fed is impotent to fight inflation. And number two, that would be less bullish, that more dovish stance by the Fed for the first time would be less bullish for stocks and bonds, because they would have to get up above a hurdle rate of, say, 4 to 5% inflation. But gold benefits from inflation, from the worries about the depreciation of a currency. So that scenario, for the first time since 2008, would be bullish for gold, silver, tangibles, mining stocks, but not so bullish for stocks, bonds, and all of the more mainstream investment options.
What other things are you kind of watching here as we try to wrap up this winter? You know, obviously it's still early in the year, a lot of volatility around. You know, what's when it comes to precious metals, the mining stocks, what are some things you're kind of paying attention to specifically?
Well, I think there's a lot out there that's still undervalued. Kind of in stealth mode and unnoticed by a lot, we've seen a number of these, even the junior miners rise. You know, the senior miners up until late last week, because, and I haven't checked the numbers since, but the senior miners have gone up like 45% since early November, where gold was up about 18.5%. So they offered some leverage. And what the people at VRIC and MIF were bemoaning were the fact that it hadn't gotten down to the juniors, but it had to some extent. The broad swath of the juniors, particularly the better ones, were already up 20% or so, and some much more. And so it had started to filter down. And I think we were on the verge, at least as of last week, in that kind of rip-roaring market where all of a sudden the tide rushes in and lifts all boats. It's getting better. So, you know, I'm not much of a thematic investor in the junior miners. I don't say, okay, I'm focusing on uranium this week, or I'm focusing on developers this week. I'm looking for good stories, and I'm seeing them, frankly, all over the place. There are companies with big resources that should be moving pretty soon because they have identified value, and they are obviously, the simple math says that they are significantly undervalued. There are companies that are greatly positioned exploration companies. There are companies that are rebounding because they have a better financing environment and they can get back on their feet. So a lot of opportunities out there in some that haven't been noticed yet that I'm focusing on trying to get out to my readers as we speak before they start moving.
It should be an interesting publication because I think I got a good idea of where you're heading with that one. One story I want to ask you, there seems to be a financing window open right now, some really big financings. Faraday Copper has a massive, I think, $35 million financing open right now. Osisko Mining has a huge financing that was announced, I think, today or late last week. I will do a sidetrack. A friend of mine messaged me and said Osisko Mining bought back nearly 6 million of their shares over the past year at just under $4 a share. But today they're issuing 24 million units at $3.10. So the business model for junior developers still remains a little mystery.
They'll make it up in volume. That's where the idea is.
But let me ask you. So it does sound like this window is open. It seemed like a vast majority of 2022 with very little financing windows available for investors. But right now, it's strong out of the gate, first part of 2023. is there money that's willing and able to come into this very risky sector right now, given the macro backdrop and the volatility?
I think there is. I think the worry for the gold bugs and silver bugs and the diehards like you and I is that the generalists are going to come in and make all the money again, because they're the ones that see the charts heading up. They see the golden cross in gold, and they, and they say, oh, that looks like a bull market. They come in and they buy, and we're still hesitant, saying, we're trying to get whacked again by the market. And we're so trained by recent experience that we're hesitant. And then, at the top, we're going to be like all gung-ho, and these generalists are going to be so dispassionate about the whole thing. They're going to see it and they're going to sell out. That's the danger. That's the worry, or, one of many worries, maybe not the biggest worry that we have. But I think there is a lot of money out there, and that's why we see the stock market rising on, a Fed meeting where nothing new comes out of it and they're still fairly hawkish. There's just an incredible amount of money sloshing around the world right now looking for a home, and it will cascade into anything that looks like an opportunity, and it doesn't like to sit still. So yeah, there is nothing that's going to prevent new money from coming into the sector, and I think it's starting to happen.
All right, Brian. Well, it's good to connect with you once again. Glad we ran into each other up there in the YVR. That's your market update here with Brian London, and that's a wrap here for us here on Mining Stock Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with the morning briefing. Be well.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.